hard to fight against the injustices and the thorns that are hurting the homeless people.
And I fight on, and on. Do I tire? No, I fight.
So please, join the people who are fighting. Please be a supporter of the people who are fighting hard in your community. And if you have an inkling, just a little tidbit of feeling about the injustice that is perpetuating and plaguing our planet and our community, stand in opposition to it. Do something. Write a letter today. Speak out today. Get on the radio today. Call up a friend today and tell him or tell her about things that are going on. Confront those people in the bank. Wherever you go, talk with people about the issues. Whether you're in the store, whether you're in the supermarket, whether you're on the streets, whether it's your workplace, tell the people about what is going on in Santa Cruz. Tell the people about that ridiculous sleeping ban that is a deep fucking thorn in the homeless person's back. Tell the people about what is going on so that we as a people can adhere to truth. Because truth is what will liberate us. Truth is a very courageous part of what inspires people to do what they do in the world. Are you going to be motivated by greed, fear, and selfishness? Or are you going to be motivated by love, righteousness, equality, justice? That is a question. My time is gone.
Your time is up. And you're history, buddy.
No, I'm not history.
You're making history.
Take care, everyone. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I hope you've listened to what I've said. If you want to call me at home to let me know that you disagree with me or you agree with me or where you agree and where you disagree, call me at home, please. 421-9250. Leave a message if you want. If you want to hook up to chat and dialogue, please do. I have to go. Take care. I love you all. Keep struggling. Keep fighting. Keep the faith. Keep the hope. And be there Saturday. Take care.
How you doing, Robert?
All right.
Ooh.
Well, that was Just Man Jim Costner, as you know, inevitably, perpetually, persistently, and doggedly coming at you. And he's going to be coming at you tomorrow at the Sleep Out downtown. Actually, it's a speak out, it's an eat out, it's a talk out, it's a shout out, and it probably will be a lie down as well. Might be a cry out, and maybe somebody will hear us. And as Jim has told you, and he will tell you again tomorrow as eloquently as he does, and maybe you can take off, Jim. You're invited to stay if you want to hang in for a bit. He's out there passing out flyers. So if you see Jim, help him. Grab a bunch of flyers and help pass them out. And we're going to be continuing. This event tomorrow is, of course, worth coming to. I think it'll be interesting. It'll be a more direct downtown kind of, a statement in a more visible and public place than City Hall, which is where many of us have been for the last 15 days under the leadership or, should we say, under the inspirational leadership of Dragon Sard Dan Hopkins, Sean, Jimmy, Bull, the others who are really there almost all the time, who take the flack from the cops, who do the busts, who get arrested or support those who do every night. And there were no arrests last night that I heard of, and I was glad to hear about that. Previous night, of course, there were 5 arrests, thanks to the creative legal interpretations of Sergeant Eric Seeley, about whom we will have to have a whole show at some point. Anyway, this is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. You're listening to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz, and for the next 2 and maybe 2.5 hours, if we get lucky, or if the show goes well, maybe we'll call it luck. If it doesn't go well, we'll call it your misfortune. You're going to be listening to this show, and we invite you, of course, to call in. It's 427-3772 is the call-in number. We want to hear from you. The phone lines are open. The phone lines are almost always open. We give high priority to phone calls. I get tired of listening to my own voice and my old tapes. It comes a bit tedious there after a while. But that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be covering the ongoing demonstrations around the sleeping ban. Last night there was an ACLU forum on hate crimes. We'll play you a few highlights from that forum. Our favorite man, Mayor Mike Rotkin, RoboCop Rotkin, or Motormouth Mike, if you want to get into name-calling, was there. He was on the panel piously intoning how important it was not to have hate crimes in Santa Cruz, at the same time presiding over the anti-homeless laws. It's kind of fun. It's like Jim Connor talking about civil rights in the blacks, in schools for the blacks in the 60s. It's an interesting kind of situation, an irony. And indeed, there were numerous people at the ACLU forum who observed and became aware of this contradiction and spoke about it. John Stewart was particularly eloquent. I spoke. And then there were other individuals in the audience who affirmed by their support by their interaction with me afterwards, some of whom came over to the sleepout, that they really didn't believe all the grin-labeled bullshit that was coming out of City Hall in the via the mouth of Mike Rotkin. We're going to talk about that, and I'm going to play you some selections from that. We're also going to play you selections from the arrests the night before last. A lot of that has gone out on the air on other shows, the arrests of five people, including Robert Flory, Daniel Hopkins, Sean Alimi, Chad Bussard, and the vicious skid marks Bob Duran. Let's not forget that guy. I mean, you give him a guitar and he goes to jail. I mean, it's something he's got to take away his guitar. I mean, he's just getting carried away all the time, carried away one way or another. That's for the next hour and a half on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Please give us a call. Please stay tuned. And please forgive us for our old Earth First songs, because that's what you're going to hear next.
Cutting down the forest, hauling it away. Rumble of your lumber trucks at the break of day. Last of the baby redwoods hit that forest floor. Run through your chipper to make your way for Fort LP. 200,000 acres without stopping. Forest to a desert in a day. Modern forestry is so amazing. Let the future generations pay.
LP.
Haul it to the sawmill. Gotta make a buck. Blades are worn and dangerous. Better trust your luck. Don't stop for the worker's safety. Never fear the worst. 'Cause if somebody kills himself, just blame it on her first.
LP.
Watch your profits grow with our forests and our future on a march to Mexico.
LP. And that was from Daryl Cherney's album Timber, which we frequently grab from the back racks. A lot of good stuff, a lot of grassroots activism, a lot of direct action, which I think is the key to winning the struggle here in Santa Cruz. Creative action, creative activity that will embarrass the pants off of these well-dressed but fundamentally empty politicians downtown and their bureaucratic sympathizers in the poverty pimp structure and the merchants who narrowly have their own interests and are quite prepared to ignore or trample over human rights in the name of profit and a better tax base downtown. I think that direct action, where that direct action, I believe, is peaceful and nonviolent, that's my perspective, although other voices are being raised around these issues as people grow more anxious, people grow more nervous. I think it's really in our hands. I think that the weapons, unfortunately, are for the most part, in spite of what my previous colleague, this previous talk show host, who is my colleague, Just Man Jim Costner, says about revolution. I frankly don't put too much hope in people's revolution in the United States. I think the weapons are in the hands of the folks on the other side, and on the hands of the folks in the government. And although, ironically, I think many of the folks who are on the other side, in the sense that they're in the extreme right wing of the political spectrum, I have actually more sympathy for a lot of these people than I do for those who are in the government structure, because the people on the right, who, for example, who champion the right to bear arms, and some of us on the left do too, are essentially being oppressed by the same kind of structure. They are blaming the wrong targets, I think, in many cases, blaming racial groups and blaming religious, looking for salvation in religious solutions and so forth, which I don't agree with. But I certainly support oppressed people wherever they are, and whether it's a Scientologist who's getting this shit kicked out of them by the government, or even a Nazi, frankly. I think the real enemy are the people with the power, and that those are the people who run the government and run the city hall. And they're the enemy in the sense that we need to recapture and to establish basic human rights through, whether it be directly through the government organs, and that's, you know, that's one way to do it, or whether it be simply through asserting those rights ourselves at a sort of the basic level. That's another way of doing it. We're actually doing that at City Hall. We're asking citizenry to come join us in nonviolent civil disobedience, sleeping out every night, going to forums and embarrassing the mayor and his city council cronies, who like to pat themselves on the back so constantly about their good work in Santa Cruz and the wonderful extent of homeless services, and try to reassure us. Catherine Byers and Celia Scott keep trying to reassure us that every possible thing is being done, and they've looked at every site for an emergency campground, and there's just nothing available, and oh gosh, isn't it too bad? It is too bad, but that's not the last word. That was the first word. We knew that before they started all this stuff, and that's why what we really have, the work, our task is to organize ourselves. So, let's hear a little more of Daryl Cherney while I get my tapes together. And again, give us a call at 427-3772 if you have any thoughts about tomorrow's demonstration. Again, we're scheduling a kind of a lie down downtown, taking it into the heart of the downtown area where we had our last successful demonstrations on May 11th, 1994, and then again a huge wobbly sleep out outside the bookshop Santa Cruz in September. And we've got an incoming phone call here.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert, this is Patrick.
Oh, hi, Patrick. Hi. Patrick Lancelin?
That's correct.
Now, Patrick, you, as I recall, are the video photographer who has become so notorious in the Santa Cruz Metro. In fact, even though I earned the title, I believe, in the Metro, last Metro, most irritating man in Santa Cruz, it looks like they're coming after you, too, guy.
Well, I don't know if they're coming after me or if I'm just earning it. I believe I've earned it. I want to nominate you for Man of the Year, Robert. I think that, I think you're doing excellent work, and I think that it's having an effect. And I should let you know that I received a letter from Community Television from Laura Greenfield of what's coming down there, that Mayor Rotkin's wife is down there writing letters to suppress the homeless issues. And now Mr. Charlie Reed from Community Perspectives, the show for which I work, is starting to show an interest in the homeless, because there's no way around it.
Mm-hmm. He actually gave me a call on the phone yesterday and wanted to know. Actually, he didn't give me a call. I got the word secondhand. He wanted to know the name of the man who was pepper gassed by a host, who actually is in the studio with me right now by coincidence.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that name. It's D-Bob. He's spoken about his experiences on the air, and he continues to work for Food Not Bombs and also to support the Sleep Out Vigil.
He's the hero that was removed the night that we filmed the illegal, well, I guess it's legal if they made it a law, but the person that was sleeping there and that was arrested.
I believe D-Bob was arrested.
Was.
On one of the early nights of the sleepout.
Yes, that's
third
right.
Night of the sleepout, and actually we have him here. He could probably talk about that at some point if he wants, but I would like to, again, since you're calling in, talk about your case. You recently were the subject to what seemed to me, and again, I wasn't present when you allegedly spoke in a loud voice and made the alleged threats that these attorneys in this one office claimed justified their restraining order.
Let me clear that up.
All right. Now, actually, before you do, let me just mention that that is the substance of the attack on you in the Metro Santa Cruz story.
Yes.
That you were a raging, threatening kind of guy, and they then got these injunctions against you, and then because of that, somehow that justified 6 days in jail, $25,000 bail, and then bullshit drop charges.
That's correct. I guess you're in. That just happened that they dropped the charges because they have no case.
Exactly. Well, I knew.
Actually, I would love to go into court and show the proof. It's a tear evidence so tall that it would topple a building. I've got so much proof on this.
Well, I think that what impresses me is when judges show such solicitude for their attorney pals. I guess Lee Gulliver or whoever it was. Lee Gulliver was the woman in question who claimed
yes.
you violated. The restraining order.
Under the mantle and protection of the courts of Santa Cruz.
It was very interesting that this allegation was made at a time when you were filming up at the Juvenile Hall a film called, what's it called again?
For Kids' Sake, ABC.
For Kids' Sake, ABC, about abuses in
Family
Juvenile
Law
Hall.
In the county of Santa Cruz.
In the county of Santa Cruz. And you, of course, and your co-photographer, Becky Johnson, were, again, attempting vigorously, as journalists should, to try to get in and film proceedings, and the people who wanted to keep those proceedings quiet were not, of course, the victims of the proceedings, the youths and the youths' relatives. Rather, these were the bureaucrats, the lawyers, the judges, the vultures who feed off this system, and you were told to go outside by a bailiff because of this old restraining order that had nothing to do with what you were doing, but simply concerned the person of Lee Gulliver, who apparently, she had gotten a restraining order against you because you were vigorous in going to the office and making some assertions there, and you can talk about that in a moment.
I have only begun, Robert.
And what happened then, again, to refresh our listeners' memory, was you were ordered by the bailiff to go outside. You did go outside, and then she walked outside past you, declared that you had, because you had come within, what?
She approached me.
Right, but because that distance had lessened, because her feet were moving in your direction, you were somehow in violation of the restraining order, and they jailed you for 6 days.
Well, it was a setup.
Crime,
she told me to go to the end of the parking lot, and then when she drove out, I was right where they told me to go. And she left, went down to her office, called up Charlotte Cloud. They had a little meeting, figured out a way to get me arrested because I had addressed the Senegalese and the Niger and African delegation that were here to see how things are done in the United States.
Right. There were a bunch of foreign exchange students over there.
They weren't students. They were actual people that are trying to deal with their problems in the countries.
And they came over, and they were at Juvenile Hall, and they wanted to know what your camera crew was doing. And
they asked, and I told.
And you apparently,
I told the truth, you see.
In telling the truth, you may have antagonized the juvenile authorities, judges, and attorneys who then found a way to put you away for 6 days, possibly as a threat, not simply to you, darn cold, but also a threat to anyone else who would want to expose them. And indeed, you're quite outspoken. I was present at a city council meeting 2 weeks ago in which you, Mayor Rutkin had you threatened with arrest. And, told you your time was up, and you, because he was trying to
know,
you up, and you turned to him and said, no, your time is up. Yes, I remember that.
It was you who was responsible, Mr. Mayor Rotkin.
You were talking about homeless issues. And about
absolutely. It's worse than that, Robert. I have the film. You can see the children. You can see I have the person that died here on this film. The person's no longer with us.
You're talking about Harry from the River Street Refugees.
That's correct. These people need protection. They need protection from the police. They need protection from the shop owners.
Indeed, the River
shop owners were allowed to stay in their tents during the earthquake and rebuild, but yet they have no sympathy for the people that need it the most.
Well,
it's an outrage that this should happen in America.
It is, and it's an outrage that the city council allows this to go on.
It's an outrage that a person like Mayor Rotkin would...
You're left bereft of words, aren't you?
I am just.
Did you have anything particular other than, of course, to nominate me for Man of the Year, which
I'm nominating you for Man of the Year. We'll have it with or without him. We'll have our own little party.
Or we could say, yeah. I think
you'll see, Robert, that in the end, the facts will come out. The story will be told. And I truly trust that your insistence on justice will be heard.
Well, indeed, it has to be everybody's insistence. As I said to Mike Rotkin last night and to the audience that was listening to this ACLU Hate Crimes Forum, which happened at the Civic Auditorium, Rotkin won't listen to me. He'll never listen to me. It's never going to happen.
Never listen.
Not in this lifetime.
He's interested in his political advancement.
But he will listen, however, to the voices of those who had previously been his constituents.
I would say it's probably time to organize and take these matters seriously and take them before higher authorities.
Well, there is a medical marijuana thing happening at 2 o'clock tomorrow, but I suppose those aren't the higher authorities.
No, I don't think that's... No, I'm talking about federal court.
Ah, yes, federal court. Well, you know, I've always been hoping that somewhere out there in the mist would be some attorney who wants to come in and give us a hand.
Well,
in fact, I've actually talked to an attorney in Berkeley who's expressed sympathy for helping us do an injunction, seek an injunction, as has been sought in Berkeley successfully and in San Francisco unsuccessfully against the sleeping bans there. Actually, not against the sleeping ban in Berkeley. They got an injunction against the sitting ban. Proposition O, and that currently is, you know, their anti-homeless laws are all on hold thanks to legal help from the ACLU. Now, wouldn't it be nice if the ACLU, who meets next week, by the way, I believe the legal committee meets on Tuesday or Wednesday in Isabel Gilman's house.
Yeah.
You can give her a call. She's in the phone book under Gilman. And then the board of the ACLU will meet on Wednesday or Thursday. The woman who ran the forum last night didn't know or perhaps wouldn't say exactly where that was. I'm not exactly the most welcome figure at ACLU board meetings. I've been to them before. I've asked them before to assist us in fighting the sleeping ban, which abrogates the rights of homeless people after 11 o'clock at night in the most direct and obvious manner.
It's a threat to humanity.
And the response of the ACLU has been silence.
A threat to humanity as a whole.
And the reason that the response to the ACLU is silence, I think, is manifold. First of all, it is a volunteer ACLU. There are a lot of people, you know, who just don't have any resources. A second reason is, unfortunately, a number of these people are tied into the downtown power structure and do not want to offend their pals on the city council. For example,
right.
Attorney Bob Terran, we asked repeatedly to assist us on this. He's promised to assist us, and then he's backed out, and I've become personally angry with, and to some extent had interchanges with Bob reminding him of this. He isn't interested. Other attorneys who are members of the National Lawyers Guild, like, what the hell is her name, Lane Goldman, perhaps she regrets it now, but as a public defender, she sold out Robert Flory.
The public defenders in this county are working for Art Danner.
Well, you know, it's hard to say. There's a lot of pressure on the public defenders.
It's hard to prove.
I also don't want to be totally unsympathetic to public defenders who have a lot of work to do. But frankly, when I offered, I think last year when we started having a lot of trials, Kim Argula got a trial for resisting arrest in the May 11th, 1994 sit-ins when she didn't resist arrest. And Sergeant Crane, a friendly Andy Crane, misspoke himself on the stand. The head of the jury came up to Kim Argula, and after they'd acquitted her, shook her hand and said, "Keep up the good work." Kim Argula was part of the whole group of people that are doing what we're going to try to do tomorrow,
good.
Which is challenge the downtown ordinances. Actually, we are going after the sleeping ban, but in order to do that, we also have to challenge the downtown ordinance. The same ordinance, by the way, well, it's been modified, but it's the illegitimate bastard son of the ordinance which Kim Argula and hundreds of people challenged on May 11th, 1994, the sit-down ordinance. This new ordinance was passed by Kennedy and Rotkin, who did a quick double twist after the courts threw out the old ordinance and made it illegal to sit 10 feet from a shop instead of everywhere,
yeah.
And to lie down everywhere. So I'm going to encourage people to lie down, to do a big lie down downtown, which I suspect the police will ignore because they don't want to do to fill the jails at this time. They'll let us do our little demonstration and go on, and then we'll go to City Hall and try to continue. And we will not try to continue. I'm quite confident we will continue the sleep out. It will go into its 16th night on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Anyway, Patrick, I've been babbling on. I want you to tell me a little bit more, if you can, in temperate language, please.
Of course. I've been working on it. I'm trying to get everything very... it's an emotional thing,
of
though,
course.
You know. A person, a human being, can only take so much of this stuff.
Right. I understand. And that's what happens. They drive you crazy, and then they call you crazy, and then they treat
crazy.
You like
not only that, you know, they do things in a bureaucratic way, and they stall, and they go around and around and around. It's like the people down there at Community Perspectives or Community Television down there.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trying to name the channel for 3 months, and there's so much arguments at the board meetings and everything that they can't get this one name for the channel. I mean, they can't even name the channel. It looks like a child care center down there because all the employees' children are down there every day, and no work gets done, and there's no place for people to do the work.
Well, I understand.
The whole place revolves around the staff.
Well, I understand the hassle that you got into, and I got kind of my inside source here, you know who.
Yes.
Has informed me that you are getting hassled down there because, and you mentioned this incident to me some months ago. You were doing some video on the sidewalk in a Fellini-like manner when some bigoted employee of the vault came out to hassle a street musician.
That's correct.
And the hosts showed up, those friendly hosts who are still carrying pepper gas around and have... One of the victims of their pepper gassing is sitting here in the studio right now.
Yeah.
came down and saw you filming and thought that you were the problem, even though, of course, the complaint was about the musicians, and then they got into a hassle with you, and this then has become the basis for a complaint about your behavior with community TV.
I'm going to straighten that out. Do you know that was also the very day that we nabbed the parking meter, Vandertoon, Mr. Agent Vandertoon?
Now, is there an update on that? By the way, you spoke quite eloquently at City Council 2 weeks ago about getting tapes to the city parking department.
I have the tapes. I've reviewed them, and we're going to air them.
So they haven't yet been sent to the parking department or maybe...
No, they'll be the last to hear. As a matter of fact, I've been approached by CNN.
And what we're talking about, audience, for those who don't know, is Patrick and Becky are the two who broke this...
And Lee Murray.
And Lee Murray are the people who broke the Mr. Twister scandal, where Twister, the Good Samaritan, was running around giving away, you know, coins into the meters, one step ahead of the meter maids.
He's a nice person.
And, you know, he was getting cited for it. They've threatened us as homeless activists when we've done this on the streets in order to help people, too. And, of course, the national scandal around this and the national ridicule produced a change in the law. Well, apparently you were also doing... You brought to the city council the claim, and we hope to see that you will back up that claim.
I will.
With video footage.
Count on it. Yes.
That, in fact, the practice of harassing people for putting in coins and meters, or let's put it this way, of ticketing people for meters that still have time on them,
yes,
continues.
It's thievery. It's absolutely... I attempted to do a citizen's arrest against this person, and, you know... It only works for those that are on the other side of the legal system.
I'm afraid so. One time, Dave Jacobs tried to do a citizen's arrest when he was denied access to a council meeting chaired by then-Mayor Neil Coonerty, with Mike Rodkin and Scott Kennedy.
A bunch of sniveling pukes, I tell you, Robert.
Well, I must say...
Sniveling pukes!
Well, again,
that's what they are.
Your strong language...
that's my opinion.
That's your
opinion. America.
I sometimes feel puked upon when I've been having conversations with these men. But
yes. But
what happened was they kept out this guy who had been denied access to the council chambers because there had been a homeless demonstration earlier of which he was not a part. And these police officers kept him out from a public meeting. They refused to let him in, so he attempted to make a citizen's arrest.
Yeah.
And he, of course, was, you know, whapped down, bapped off, and faced five charges, which all eventually were not dropped. They were either dropped or reversed.
Yes.
Or on appeal.
Yes.
But it took him, you know, like hundreds of hours in court, and he never got into that city council meeting, never got an apology from Mayor Neil Coonerty or any of his cronies on the council.
Yeah.
And so it is, but, you know, we got one law for those in power and another law for the rest.
All these people, Robert, can be replaced.
That's true. I'm afraid, however, that their replacements may be just as bad unless we do some real replacements.
No, they're not doing the job. That's my opinion, I should say.
Oh, yeah, well, I think they're not doing the job. And I think,
furthermore, that they're really, really inflicting pain and suffering upon the citizens of Santa Cruz. And I think first they'll do this, and I think that next thing they'll be charging you to breathe.
Charging to breathe, yeah.
Breathe, yes. It'll be a city ordinance that if you want to breathe on the city sidewalks, it's going to cost you money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Well, that's true.
Who ever thought we'd be paying $1 a gallon for water?
Indeed. Science fiction stories, of course, have as some of their keynotes the idea that air becomes a valued commodity, and it may well be as the environment gets increasingly polluted. But to return to the Metro Santa Cruz of yesterday,
yes,
or 2 days ago, I should say, in which they don't mention the fact that... Did they mention the fact that you were held in jail on $25,000 bail?
No, they don't.
Did they mention the fact you were held for 6 days?
Yes, I do believe that's so.
That's good. Did they mention the fact that all charges were dismissed? I guess that happened after press time.
Yeah.
So,
But you see, community television didn't know that when they issued me a 3-page letter here, reprimanding me for doing this. They don't know that I'm working on the toxic project at Fort Ord and I'm doing homeless issues. They don't want to hear about it because Mayor Rodkin's wife is down there telling Laura Greenfield what to write and how to write it and how to do it.
Now, do you have evidence that she is, in fact, improperly influencing this?
Yes, I do.
And what evidence?
Have witnesses. She's in there when we're doing political agendas down there. She's down there running up and down the hallway screaming, "Bill Mining! Bill Mining! More homeless!" She's down there watching and taking notes and reporting back to Mayor Rodkin what's going on down there so that they have a chance to suppress this thing before it actually hits the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not going to happen because we're going to do this over a tri-county area.
Hmm. Well, I probably should give her a call. And
we're coming out with a new program called Santa Cruz News.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not called the living room or the bedroom or the basement.
Now that's another thing. They blame me for the living room. I had nothing to do with that. That was Mr. Jim Mason's idea, and that was his program, but yet I took all the heat for that down there.
Well, I think community television is really a very important element of...
I agree.
I mean, although free radio is much more accessible and happens a lot more, there is some stuff that just has to be visually presented to
people,
you know.
It's very powerful things. It's very a threatening thing to the power structure that is, you know.
Now, how accessible actually is community television, Patrick? I mean, can an individual walk in and...
Not that simple. It is not that simple. They're starting to charge fees. The staff is dubbing and working down there and doing all kinds of work. They're supposed to be in there facilitating this for the people, but in fact, they've taken over. They're doing their own stuff. They're always inside the editing room and everything else doing their stuff, and they're down there doing the night times and stuff when the place is closed, and then they're pressuring people out of there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get anything done down there because they are buying... office equipment and everything else instead of buying things to produce video for the people.
Now, who runs...
You know, the whole place revolves around the staff down there. The children come after school. They go down to the television station and hang out there until the parents are done working. And this is interfering with everybody's ability to do work. The dubbing cart is out there in the hallway next to the bathrooms.
Well, let me ask you this.
It's ridiculous.
Who's in charge of the station?
Laura Greenfield.
And if individuals want to contact Laura Greenfield to ask her what's going on, what number can they call?
425-TV4U.
425-TV4U. That's sort of a...
Extension 2-1.
Extension 2-1. 425-TV4U. Extension 2-1 is the number.
I had my show on the 20th at the Vets Hall suppressed by Paul Simon. He tried to go in there and pull the plug on it because he thought it was connected with the living room.
I see.
Yes. And he actually... Jim Mason sent a person out there to commandeer one of my cameras.
Well,
and then there's been glitch after glitch after glitch and whiteouts on the scheduling. I'm absolutely...
And what you need to do for this is kind of maybe compact it, give us a kind of a summary report, because a lot of people are catching kind of details on the fringes. They can't really put into a coherent picture. So
they can tune in at the board of directors meeting on March 28th, and they'll get an earful.
March 28th, Board of Directors meeting. Patrick Lanson will be on Channel 71. At what time?
And we're gonna change things down there. Do you know that they've got $500,000 to work with down there, and they can't even get a studio in the back room operational, and that all the big rooms are taken up by staff and desks and computers? It's a bureaucracy down there.
Sounds like what they're doing with homeless services.
Have you tuned in to Channel 71 lately?
I don't have a television, really. But
yeah, I don't either. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that they don't know what they're doing down there. They have no idea what they're doing.
Well, let me ask you to give the time that show will air, that will be covering this controversy in detail. If you say it's a board of directors meeting, what date is that?
That'll be the 28th.
At what time?
I believe it would be around 5 o'clock, but you'll have to check.
Now, is this going to be on air? Or?
Yes, it will. It'll be live.
Okay, well, it'll be live on Channel...
Big exciting, I'm sure of it.
Channel 71?
They're doing sweetheart deals, and people are... being able to circumvent the nonprofits and all kinds of things.
Channel 71?
Yes.
All right. Well, and if people want to talk to you about this, is there a number they can call? Do you want to give out on the air?
Oh, not right now, but I will have the For Kids' Sake number, and it'll be in tune to everything that's going on.
Well, listen, Patrick, anything you want to add before we cut you off?
I think that half the population in this country is feeding off the other half, and I believe that the future lies in the children, and I believe that the truth is more powerful than anything.
Thanks, Patrick.
And I believe in free speech.
And so do I.
Okay, so keep up the good work. I'll vote for you for Man of the Year.
Well, thank you.
I really think that...
Why not Man of the Century?
Well, I don't know about that. But there's plenty more to do in this century. We're almost at the end. It's time to go for it now.
Yeah, Gandhi was petty ante next to Uncle Robert here.
Oh, of course. Yeah. He was just...
Of course, Scott Kennedy is a close second. You know, he is guided by Gandhi. We know that.
Who's that, John Kennedy?
No, Scott Kennedy, our sometime mayor and current city council member. Just kidding. A little joke, a little humor, a little levity to other...
I really don't know much about Kennedy, but I do know about Rodkin, and I don't think that Rodkin's representing the interests of the community by any means.
Well, stay tuned to the show, and you'll learn more about Kennedy.
Yes.
Talk to you later, Patrick.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
And that was Patrick Lancelin, whom Metro Santa Cruz savaged in the news column. That's N-U-Z, news column. News did a job on me about 2 months ago, and finally I was able to have a letter printed. It was about the Java House controversy. Some of our listeners may remember Java House kicked out a couple and their child for giving a cup of coffee to a forbidden man on the sidewalk, which then asked that I support a demonstration, which I did, with flyers and public statements, and it became a little something of a brouhaha. But the Java House has still not responded with any kind of set of guidelines for mediating disputes. I'm hoping for an amnesty for people if incidents are more than 6 months old. I'm hoping for some kind of a group, an informal group that gets together, a merchant, a homeless person, a member from the community, that if somebody is evicted from a store, that a letter is sent explaining the reasons and the problems, and so that it presents some kind of accountability, even though that group wouldn't have any real power. It would have the power of public opinion. These are some of the proposals that I made, none of which have been picked up by the Java House since then. Went by Kevin the other day, and looked at each other. Kevin Four is the one of the owners of the Java House. I call him Kick 'em Out Kevin because that's his solution to some problems, and he doesn't, in my mind, show a reasonable willingness to deal with the human realities of kicking people out, and he continues those exclusions over long periods of time. He also doesn't like being criticized in the press, as he was criticized in My Street Shit Sheet, and I believe that Street Chit Sheet is the name of my publication, that's a prime reason he had me bounced a couple years ago, even though he claimed that it was because I was writing on the bathroom walls and harassing people with flyers, and he had some other things to say, which he kind of went back and forth on. Anyway, I continue to encourage people to, if you do patronize the Java House, ask them if they're still excluding people, like Robert Norris, Dave Jacobs, Mike Girth, like John and Leslie and their child Forrest, because those are the issues we tried to raise in December, and I don't think they've been addressed, in spite of the savaging I got in the Metro, which Patrick Lancelin also got. Patrick, as I said, is the man you just heard on the phone. He's the video photographer who's really done some great work, along with Charlie Phillips, Becky Johnson, in covering the homeless struggle to make the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, the monopoly service provider in Santa Cruz, keep its word to the campers of the Coral Street Open Air Shelter, and they didn't, but we were able to squeeze a month and a half out of them, and that was a month and a half more of civilized, semi-civilized life. It's not really that civilized in Coral Street. It's a nasty, ugly, dirty place, as Dan Hopkins lets you know when he appealed the permit that the Citizens Committee for the Homeless was able successfully to get for its Trailers Not Trolls project, its million-dollar project that it's putting in out there on the bones of the campground that it destroyed with the help of Kennedy and Rotkin. Still, it was the only place they had to be, and now there ain't no place for them to be, and the armory is supposedly opens up or closes down. Everybody gets dumped out. March 15th, I think that's today. Now, Mayor Rotkin told us last night that he'd gotten a two-week extension, and we've been hearing different stories about that. In fact, I'm going to try to call the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, and Paul Merceau, who has declined to talk to me at any length since he had me evicted from the last, two board meetings ago from the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, one board meeting ago, for allegedly disrupting a prior board meeting. And we've been through all that on the air. I didn't disrupt anything. They closed and disrupted their own meeting because they didn't want the public to be able to air charges after they'd waited for an hour and 45 minutes. They violated their own procedures. All of it was videotaped. All of it was documented. And then they met in secret session and had me barred without allowing any kind of defense. And I'm pursuing this matter with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, not because I have any personal desire to go to their board meetings, which are, again, largely the creature of Paul Lee and Daryl Darling and Paul Merceau, three men who essentially run the board, and then they sort of tell everybody what to do, having decided in secret before what they're going to do at the executive board meeting. In case you're interested, that the board meeting, which they call public but they won't let me into, meets every Thursday, fourth Thursday of every month, at Garfield Park Church, which is up there at Woodrow and California Streets. And you can go to that, and if you try to tape record, however, they may tell you you'll have to turn it off or they'll have you arrested. That's what they did to several people. And Patrick, the man who called in, tried to video their last meeting. He was told he could not. That's the famous closed-door policy of the oh-so-open Citizens Committee for the Homeless, the group that the city council funds that provides the lion's share, almost all emergency services, at least all emergency shelter services for homeless people in Santa Cruz, and won't be providing diddly squat after the armory closes, except for 26 people who get to go into the church program. Maybe they'll be able to expand it to 52, who knows. But when you're talking 500 to 1,500 homeless people and a sleeping ban that makes it illegal to fall asleep after 11 o'clock at night in Santa Cruz, that ain't saying much. And I'm saying what I've said perhaps more than once before. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. 427-3772 is our call-in number. 96.3 is the number on your dial that you should be able to see. And again, if you want to call 427-3772, you will be able to speak your piece to me. If you're a critic, hey, I can take it. Metro may call me the most irritating man in town. I regard the Metro as one of the more irritating publications in town, but I wouldn't want to call them the most irritating publication, because one of my favorites is the Sentinel, and I have a couple of other runners-up. So you can be irritating, too. You can be friendly. You can do whatever you want. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we're here to have your comments go out to everybody else. That's how this community process works. We talk to each other, and then we act together. And I hope that you're also talking and acting with the City Hall Sleepout folks. You can reach them by phone, actually. There's a payphone at the near the City Hall outdoor area, and that's at 425-9679, 425-9679. They need to hear from you. They need people down there to stop police abuse. And, you know, police abuse sounds like some kind of a trite phrase, like police brutality. Well, police abuse is when an officer comes through and says, "We're taking all your signs as trash," unless you take them all down. Police abuse is when you're arrested for sleeping when you're not asleep, or you're arrested for lying down before the hours when it's legal to arrest someone for lying down. Police abuse is when they take a lot of your property, they say it's abandoned, when you keep telling them, "It's not, it's my property," and they refuse to give you a receipt. Police abuse is when someone is beaten across the street with a flashlight or a nightstick. Again, this is an apocryphal case. Lieutenant Habey and Sergeant, what the hell is his name? Bogle, have been charged with this by a couple, but that's a questionable allegation at the moment. What's not questionable is what Habey has done in the vigil, which is routinely seize property without giving receipts and attempt to close down the vigil, in essence. Give public statements that I feel are completely false. I don't feel it. They are completely false about there's only 100 homeless people in town, that there's a handful of these demonstrators. They don't represent the homeless or their interests in any way. Actually, they don't claim to represent homeless people. They are acting out of their own conviction and what I think is out of a basic common sense perspective, that if there is no legal place for people to sleep at night and there are 500 to 1,500 homeless people around, somebody is getting shafted. It's not that they want palatial estates for people to sleep on. It's that they want the cops to stop harassing people if there is no place for them to sleep. And again, the way the mayor usually puts this, it's a question of, well, you want them sleeping on your garden beds in front of your businesses, you know, dangling from your windowsills? No, no, no. Obviously, you need to have legal and safe sleeping zones where people can sleep. And you need equal enforcement of the laws around this. Big rig trucks get to sleep downtown. If you're in a big vehicle like that, they're not going to bother you. I saw that with my own experience. There was a huge truck parked and on. The motor ran for 4.5 hours two or three nights ago, and I believe I played a tape in which that was discussed. And for years, trucks and big rigs have parked out near Swift and Fair Avenues. And, of course, when events happened, like the I think there's a kayak festival of some sort happening this weekend. We're going to have a report on that, by the way. Those people are not harassed for sleeping in their vehicles. Only the poor.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
You have an AT&T collect call. Caller, at the tone, please say your name.
Did Mark Bob.
Will you accept charges?
Yes.
Say yes?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Thank you for using AT&T.
Isn't computer automation beautiful?
Are you a jailbird again, Skip?
No, I'm not. I'm out on the streets here.
You're going to charge...
Me and my son are doing cop watch right now.
Oh, really? Very interesting.
I had an interesting story last night for you. I was sitting here talking about police taking away people's property. Oops, that's my radio. Sorry. Officer Over is going to be in the media free radio spotlight again as he went over to Cathcart Pacific, pulled up in his car last night. This is during Feed the People's Meal. Got out of his car, grabbed two unattended backpacks, threw them in the back of his car, went around grabbing more, and people were saying, that's mine, so, don't leave it unattended. And he went running with his flashlight. I'm following him around doing the play-by-play. He's looking under the Feed the People table. He's looking over here in the dumpster. He's looking by the trash can, and he sees this shopping cart. Looked at it, and I'm like, he's investigating copping shopping cart now. He's looking at it real intensely, and then he thought, it's a little too big for him to haul away, so he decided to leave it. He's walking on down, looking. Is this your bag? Is this your bag? Yeah, it's my bag. It's my bag. Leave my bag alone. Is this your bag? Is this your bag? So he went around stealing people's bags and putting them in the back of his patrol car for safekeeping, I'm sure. Except he didn't get any of the names of the people who whose bags they were. And so my idea...
This was yesterday at the Feed the People meal?
Yesterday, yeah, about 7 p.m. at night.
You know, I actually got another report from this, and we have D-Bob in the studio, who will also make some comments. Like, are you near a radio? Can you hear us?
The RoboCop incident. Yeah, he was there. He witnessed the whole thing.
Do you want to talk about that now, D-Bob, or do you want to talk about that when Bob is finished, you off the air?
I'm pretty much finished.
I just want to make one comment Bob, am I right that people were asked to disperse and or leave while protected by their First Amendment right to assemble?
Oh, yeah, there was these people in the parking lot where there are no cars, right? And there was no cars whatsoever. It wasn't like they were worried about parking spaces or anything.
This is in the Ford's parking lot?
Ford's parking
lot. This is the parking lot that Mayor Mike Rutkin and Cynthia Matthews tried to close down and fence off?
Yes. There was three individuals, two men, one woman. They were sitting there, and they had their belongings around them, and they weren't bothering anybody. No cars were even near them. There was, like, one car in the parking lot last night.
Mm-hmm.
No big shows at the Catalyst, I guess, for $13 a pop. But anyway, Officer Over comes by, and he says, pick up your stuff now and leave.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if I have to come back, you'll be arrested. He's just like, I have it all on tape, too. And he just told these people they had to leave, that they had to pick up their stuff and get it out of here right now. He says, any of this stuff unattended? And he was just,
he was going like a world on fire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if he had a butthole, I never saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the poor guy, I don't know what's up. If he's under a lot of pressure, I don't know. Maybe Phil did it to him the other night on the radio with that show, which we told Sergeant Crane that it was going to be on, so I know Sergeant Crane was listening. So maybe, I know, it seems like it'd be nicer if he got reamed by the sergeant, but maybe he didn't. And maybe he's out there just doing his thing. But people got to watch out for Officer Over. He's a dynamite cap ready
to explode.
He's sort
of overdoing it, perhaps?
Over? I was going to ask him his first name was Ben. Ben Over?
Ben Over. let's avoid the adolescent jokes and stick with the mainstream of this evening.
Oh, yeah, yes. So anyway, basically, yeah, that was about it. He was also one of the people that was there, arrested the campers the first time. Not when I was arrested, but when Robert Flory was arrested along with Dan Hopkins.
Oh, the infamous, what was it, the Wednesday night or Thursday, I guess Wednesday morning massacre, I guess
you
could call it.
Yes, the massacre, where he charged people with interfering by laying down in front of them.
Wednesday the 13th, yeah.
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 And where I was charged with not signing my citation, a misdemeanor charge.
Now, you actually have then a misdemeanor charge going to court, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I have two campy violations and one misdemeanor refusing to sign a citation.
And I suspect they're going to drop that, but in the event that they don't, when's the arraignment?
We don't have an arraignment on that. Wait, I do, but I don't have it with me.
April 3rd, perhaps?
I think it is. It's pretty much combined with everybody. The cops now know when they have a vigil to combine all the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do it anyway in the courts to make it easier on the courts and easier for the taxpayers.
That's very sweet of you.
Yes, I know.
Mm.
So anyway, I just want to let that news out. Look out for Officer Over. He's going to blow up one day.
He's over and under.
Over
like.
And under. Way over, I'd say.
And he's over his head. Now, the question, Bob, is when are you going to pay the bill for these collect calls that are coming into the station from
here? Hey, man. Me and my kid are out here doing cop watch right now.
Can I
ask this? Say something. Well, he's intently watching the streets right now.
I expect a full report. And
yeah,
if you can,
right,
panhandle a quarter next time instead of costing a station a dollar, will you, big guy?
This is my panhandling.
I see.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Bye-bye.
And I make that comment because we are in great budgetary difficulties, but Bob is right on, calling in from the street and watching the street. And if you have anything to report, please call in. We have another call on the heels of that call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Fe.
You see, but Bob works hard for the station.
And that was a business call there.
You know, and if he was just somebody that just sat around and flapped his jaw all the time, like some people. I just woke up. And I don't know if anybody's done it yet, but I wanted to congratulate.
Isn't it worth talking about on the air, Mr. Free?
It is. It's always worth talking about on the air.
Let's talk about your bedroom habits. Go ahead.
Oh, well, that would be too boring a subject.
Indeed.
But,
do you have anything, any
habits,
interesting dreams?
Habits are always boring.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing I called,
yes.
I really haven't had caffeine, so I couldn't talk about much else yet.
Captain Chase.
I wanted to call and congratulate you.
Oh, thank you.
On your new status as the most annoying street person in Santa Cruz?
Bottle baby with a trust fund who homeless people walk across the street to avoid.
Yeah. I think when you went to the Java House,
uh-huh.
I think the guy at the Java House has a vendetta for you now.
No,
and
he likes
me.
Come
he's
on.
Been like loading the ballot box
on
every fucking thing. Dude, it's, well, okay. Then you've really, it's either there's somebody that you pissed off who's sending all these letters everywhere, or people really care about you this much, and I don't think that's it. I think you have a one-man attempt to slander your name in all the piddly press in town.
I think that there is one person who feels I deserve some recognition, and that man is trying to make sure, or woman perhaps, that I get what I deserve. I mean, after all, it's not every day you meet the most irritating man in town.
Yes. Well, you know, I think it's great. You know, I don't care if they call you an angel, I don't care if they call you Satan himself, man. As long as they keep mentioning Free Radio,
mm-hmm.
and every time they mention you, and mention that you have a show on Free Radio, hey, man, I'm in the radio business, right?
Mm.
Any publicity is good publicity, man.
And when is your show, Mr. Free?
That's not important, man. It's
important to me because the schedule
is the work of the station and running the station, keeping it running, keeping it going. That's what's important.
It's disappeared from the wall here. When is your
schedule?
Show? Yes.
I have no knowledge of what the people in scheduling are doing.
No, but when is your show? When is your next show?
My next show? I don't know. Monday.
Monday
would be the next show, 7:30 p.m.
All right, so in case you want to...
Now, I didn't call up to plug my show.
No,
fuck
I know you.
You
didn't. I know that. Well,
you're
trying.
Now people are
going to
think,
Phil
called up and plugged his show. What an asshole.
Indeed.
Calling up on somebody else's show and plugging it.
Oh, I love it.
Anyways, but yeah, I thought that was really good. And it's publicity for the station, so that's good. So go out and
irritate a few more people.
Irritate a few more people, man, even if they're not greedy.
All right.
Because how can you really tell if someone's greedy from the outside?
That's true. Now, I want to thank you, Phil. Any further comments?
Not yet. I'm going to have caffeine and
you'll be back.
And listen to the show and see if you inspire any comments.
Well, thank you, Phil.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And that is the inevitable Phil Free giving us his pre-coffee call. What he's referring to, of course, perhaps many of our listeners know already, the Santa Cruz Metro had a poll, the best this, the best that, and I won, apparently, a special award. I topped head of the field as the most irritating person in Santa Cruz. So I really think that I really want to tip my non-existent hat to the Metro Santa Cruz for finally bringing out the facts on this matter, and at last, I'm getting the recognition that I have striven all these years for. My name in the papers as Scott Kennedy and Police Chief Bassett, as our prior police chief used to put it. It was my only objective. And, of course, my name on the radio. And I was also told I have a smooth and silky voice on the radio, which I suppose is a sort of a backhanded compliment. How can one be irritating with a smooth and silky voice? I guess I do try to be irritating. I don't know. I try to tell the facts as I see them, and sometimes these facts are extremely irritating, particularly when they have to do with malfeasance, cruelty, violation of rights by city officials and city bureaucrats. So if that's irritating, hey, I'm afraid that such irritations will continue and grow, and I'll encourage other people to follow in my wake, or to help. I will follow in their wake, and we will wake up the town. So, DeBob, you're here with me here, and did you have some kind of a report? I guess it was being mentioned, move your chair over there, by Skidmark Bob in his collect call to the station, which will cost only $2.50, and I'm sure that Bob will panhandle the money for that call. But you yourself have been doing some watching on the streets, and you've been around. You're a Food Not Bomber. What's happening? D-Bob is kind of collating his notes here, and he's going to give us a report as soon as he's got it together. We have, unfortunately, very little light in the studio. Some romantic soul has put in a very low-wattage red bulb, so you can barely see your finger in front of your nose, and it's real hard to read anything, which I was hoping to do. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to attempt to, through my own brilliance, irritate that light bulb into beaming more brightly, and as, of course, the most irritating man in town, I shouldn't have too much trouble doing that. While I'm doing that, I will play for you a little segment of a dialogue. I'm getting strange signals from D-Bob here. I'm going to be playing for you a dialogue at one of the sleep-out mornings that happened, oh, I think it's 4 or 5 days ago. And the dialogue is interesting because it's between two figures who are not part of the sleep-out but who got into a debate. Before I do, however, I believe, D-Bob, you have something to say.
Actually, I had nothing to add to the report. When Bob was on the air, we covered that in fairly good detail.
All right. Well, that's good. If anybody out there has anything they want to add about police abuse, whether it be in the beach flats, on the fifth floor of the county building, whether security guards have harassed you out on the boardwalk, or metro guards have given you trouble down at the metro, whether it be the hosts hassling you downtown, or the Santa Cruz police waking you up at midnight, or the Parks and Rec Rangers hassling you in the Poganip, we want to hear about it. And if you aren't listening to a radio and near a phone or with a quarter in your hand that you want to spend on a phone call between 10 and 12 on Mondays and Fridays, which is when this show airs, and you can call other shows, 427-3772. The lines are almost always open to Free Radio Santa Cruz. If you keep trying, you'll get through. You can give a call to 423-HUFF. 423-4833. That's the number that I have at my house, and houses used advisedly. We're talking about one room that leaks, but hey, I call it home. I don't have the keys to my house because the police seized my keys 2 days ago, and I still haven't gotten them back. But we're hoping that eventually I'll get those keys back, and I'm planning, if this goes on, to start charging all the difficulties I have related to my inability to get in my house, inability to use a car, inability to get into storage, to the police department, which should have returned my keys 24 hours ago at least. So I'll keep you advised on what's going on with that. Have I lost my way again? Hopefully not. Well, I was talking about this dialogue at the sleepout, and I'm going to play a little of that dialogue, which will give me a chance to cue up a few more tapes. Specifically the ACLU Hate Crimes Forum, which happened last night, which I found rather interesting. And we're also going to try to put a call through to the vigil to get an update from the hearty vigiliers, the sleepsters out there at City Hall. And we're also going to talk to the Interface Satellite Shelter Program folks. That's Pardonnez-moi Paul Merceau and Ron Howard, not the man from the television show, but the man from the former Coral Street Open Air Shelter, who now runs sort of the operations manager of the soon-to-be-dead Armory program and the church program, to find out just what is going on. Are they going to open the Armory? Are they not going to open the Armory? Are they going to sort of, you know, keep it a big surprise? I mean, what's going on? Anyway, here's a little something to keep us tided over until we can get some more live stuff.
So some dialogue here at the sleep out at City Hall about 15 to 10 between two gentlemen with different points of view.
My sense of this is that...
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's interesting that, you know, that changes something, because for me, like, I feel completely in the same boat as them, even though I have a job. I created a nonprofit organization that and got 501c3 status, and that was not an easy thing to do. But, you know, not everyone can do that. I had access to education when I was young, and I know how to do this stuff. And I think that, you know, everyone has different opportunities.
No, that's true.
And that's why I just want to support the lowest rung of the economic ladder, because those aren't necessarily, you know, when anyone gets introduced into consumer society, they enter at the very bottom.
Yeah. And I agree that, you know, not everybody comes from equal backgrounds, and but if a person has a sound body and a sound mind, you know, they can do what it takes to improve themselves and get an education and get training, and they may not necessarily be able to stay in the nicest place they want to stay. They may have to go someplace else where they don't particularly want to live. But on the other hand, I think it might be helpful to have a place where people can stay temporarily, but I think there's got to be limits put on it. You can't have taxpayers paying for continuous support, even though it's minimal. I mean, we're talking about open space where presumably you have your own possessions, you have a sleeping bag, you have a tent in case it rains. But there is such things as bathroom facilities, shower facilities that are needed, and there are liability questions for sure. And anybody's open to litigation, you know. And the city's not exempt for sure. I mean, city and the county are sued every day. And some, you know, but in a whole wide range, it's, you know, all shades of gray.
I'm not too familiar with the specifics of this situation, but my understanding is that if they spend a fraction of the money they spend on police intervention in the situation and in the criminalization of being houseless, then, you know, they could actually make strides towards solving some of these problems. You know, we spend more money in keeping people in jail than we do building low-cost housing. So I think it's, you know, it's an issue of consumer culture. It's an issue of capitalism.
That's a big
because
issue.
Everyone wants to get more, and then you got to step on someone below you. So, you know, I think it's a, you know, it's just one thing in that we're gonna have to deal with, you know, along with ecological problems and all kinds of things. But I mean, decriminalizing people for not having luck is the first step, I think.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's all shades of gray on the luck issue too. You know, I mean, some people have mental problems. Some people are on drugs. You know, they've fried their lives for whatever reason. You know, and you can talk about it infinitum. But
well, the statistics are incredible. Like in New York, half of the homeless men are Vietnam vets.
Yeah.
And now, you know, the Gulf War veterans are having the same problems and coming back to this country. You know, so I mean, there's a giant bubble of hypocrisy that's being hidden just through self-censorship and the like, and not people not wanting to really deal with issues, I think.
Yeah, well, like I said, there's many sides. What kind of limitations do you have on the petition? I mean, are there any conditions of your own that you impose, or do you want an open-ended? Do you want an open-ended grounds for staying for your rest of your life?
This petition, which is the petition for homeless campground, is actually, this is the other side.
Okay.
So you can actually read it. I think the major point is more that a concern that there be a decriminalization of sleeping and a legal place to be, which is what you're saying. We don't go into the specifics. Those can be worked out. But the important thing is that we commit ourselves to getting that as soon as possible yesterday, rather than arresting people for sleeping.
Right. Okay, but like, how long can they stay there?
That hasn't been decided.
No
preconditions have been set.
Toilet facility, shower facility.
It would be nice to have toilet. I mean, I think that'll be a necessity at some point for there to be access to those things. Obviously,
Okay. Is there a homeless coalition group?
There are a couple of different groups. One's called HUF. That's my group, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
Yeah.
Dan is the man over there who's heading this protest. He's a man who filed the appeal against Community House, which is the million-dollar trailer project that replaces a campground that served five or six times as many people.
Where's that located?
That's at Coral Street. It's at Highway 1 and Highway 9.
Oh, right up at...
The old campground, if you remember it, this last fall. Were you here this last fall?
No.
Yeah,
I was in Santa Cruz, but I don't remember the issue.
There was a campground that's been there for 2 years, which homeless people were able to use throughout the summer and fall, and it's gone now.
Uh-huh.
And it's gone because the city council wasn't even city run. It was run by private citizens, but the private citizens broke their word to the homeless and closed it down. Anyway,
but
so
is there an advocate group for homeless people? I'm talking the homeless coalition.
Yeah,
is it? Is that the
group?
No?
We're
well, no. Is there?
No, there's no homeless coalition.
There isn't. Okay. Because I heard there was.
No, they're bureaucrats who call themselves. They get paid to supposedly help homeless people. We don't consider them advocates.
There's the homeless gardens, right, in town.
There's the homeless garden project, which does homeless gardening. You know, and there's. There's the Homeless Community Resource Center, which provides meals during the day.
But and Food Not Bombs also.
And then there's Food Not Bombs, you know, which is a group that... And also Feed the People is another group. Feed the People is actually... The head of Feed the People is here, doing the sleepout. And the Food Not Bombs is lying right here. Or one person from Food Not Bombs.
Is that illegal to lie there in the daytime?
Would somebody like to take care of this gentleman?
Sleeping? Yeah, well, he has a right to sleep. It's during the day.
That's right. I know that.
Yeah.
But he also needs to pay his part.
You are quite right. And I'm going to do that just right now.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your asking.
Hey, it's early. I'm in no hurry.
Cool. Thank you. So we've just saved one man from a parking fine. So what's your name again?
Jaya.
Jaya. And your name, sir, is?
Kim Vester, V-E-S-T-E-R.
Thanks, Kim.
Yeah. So your petition is to get it on what, a ballot or
the petition is to get some. Well, actually, our petition is a petition to commit the people who signed the petition to a campaign of organizing, protest, and demonstration to secure some kind of a campground for the homeless. And the parameters are unclear because they've yet to be worked out. We're not saying one thing or another. We're just saying that has to be so that people don't sleep on the sidewalks. You know,
uh-huh.
That's the point.
Yeah. When's it come up before the council?
It isn't. That's the problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're ignoring it. That's why. This is a campaign of protest. We're trying to get people to commit themselves to do protest.
What's Rodkin's feeling?
We've tried real hard. Gosh, we haven't been able to get anywhere. Gee, it's a problem all these cities face. Santa Cruz does the most it can for all the homeless people. It's a hire more services here than anywhere else. We really are sorry about the situation.
So they haven't committed. There's no commitment or talk of commitment of tax funds for a soup kitchen or...
Well, there's a soup kitchen already. They fund a meal.
Okay, but it's mainly a place to stay.
No overnight areas sleep. Where people can legally sleep have been committed by any city officials.
Yeah. See, three years, they buy a building for $818,000 approved for purchase with bond money in 91.
For and what, it's for?
For the homeless.
Okay.
With emergency food and shelter grant, on the River Street property. Uh-huh. It's empty for 3 years. A group called HIP takes the money and pays staff and doesn't construct any showers. Then after 3 years, this summer, finally in June, they opened the showers, three showers and washing machines. And the population of the homeless campground grows from 50 or 60, where it was 2 years ago, to 150, 175. And then, because that's happened, they accelerate this expensive so-called transitional project, which is going to ask for $180,000 the first year and $280,000 in successive years to pay a $320,000 operating budget. The trailers go right on top of the homeless campground, which they wipe out, and then they say they want to find another homeless campground and hold 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months of meetings to look for it, but it already existed. They wiped it out. Uh-huh. It was right next to showers and facilities.
This wasn't the Sycamore Grove, was it?
No, this is the one where I was telling you about on Coral Street.
Yeah, Coral. Okay.
River and Highway 1.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, you can think about it. There's no need to make up your mind right now if you want to consider that. The main reason is we're looking for names and phone numbers so we can get in touch with you to get you involved in demonstrations and protests and call-ins and so forth.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the level of commitment we're looking for.
Yeah.
So it's
what effort are you people, and I, like I say, I know there's a broad range of people, but what effort are you willing to do to get to, I don't know what kind of training you have or what kind of job capabilities you have, but you know, if you had a lot of people living in a house, sharing a house,
There are 500 to 1,500 homeless people in Santa Cruz.
Understand. You know, but you can start with a group of people. You know.
Yeah. And that's not my interest. I mean, some people are interested in that, but I'm not.
What's your long range intent? You want to camp out for like the rest of your life?
No, I want to see that people are not being arrested for sleeping on the streets of Santa Cruz. That's my intent right now.
For what term?
What do you mean for?
For what term per person?
I don't think anyone should ever be arrested for falling asleep.
On public property.
Yeah, unless they're blocking it or causing problems. Yeah, nobody really wants to be on public property. I mean, most of the time it's miserable. I mean, there's no privacy, there's no dignity to it, but people do it because they have to.
Yeah.
And when they have to, they should not be penalized for it.
You know? Yeah, I understand.
And before we try to solve the housing problem, we need to just decriminalize the sleeping problem.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless is a $550,000 entity. Half of the money is spent on their wheels to the shelter. And for 6 months of the year, they only have in North County 28 shelter beds. In South County, I guess they have also 28. So the other 6 months, they're taking them to the armory. The other quarter million of the total half million Citizens Committee spends is spent on the Homeless Garden Project, which only employs, I don't know, 15 homeless 3 days a week for $5 an hour. 3 hours.
The city's paying homeless people to work in garden city park areas or.
Directly. Thank you.
I'm talking to
Louis Santana.
And Louis, what happened to you?
I was going across from the pizza parlor right there on the corner, and they wanted to search my person, and I walked away.
What time was this?
It was like early evening, about 7 o'clock.
And what day was this?
It was the 21st of February.
Okay, so you were walking across, and where was this again?
Over across by the casino.
About the casino? Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And about a block from where we are now.
Over by the boardwalk.
Oh, yeah. On the boardwalk.
Yeah.
Okay. Some blocks from where we are.
Uh-huh. And I walked away, and six patrolmen.
Santa Cruz police officers?
Yeah. Looking, twisting my ankle, man. I mean, I'm 45 years old.
Your right leg is now in a cast here,
or
in some kind of a cast.
And my ankle's fucking busted.
Your ankle's busted. So what did these six guys do?
I said that I was trying to run away, and
got you from behind.
They knocked me from behind.
Were you running or walking?
I was walking. I had a guitar on and a great case.
And who was the officer who led this charge?
Bill Azula.
And these are Santa Cruz police officers?
Yeah.
Any other officers' names come to mind?
No, I can get them, though.
Did you get a...
I got one of the forms already.
Good. They're open from 9 to 1, Monday through Thursday.
Yeah.
And they're right across from the new parking garage,
I got the form. I just wanted to know what I was supposed to do with it then.
You just take it into them, and you just sit down and say, help me fill out the form, and they do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right across the street from the parking place, right?
Right across from the Santa Cruz, the old Santa Cruz Hotel, you know.
All right.